You know, during the week, things get busy, life happens, and, you know, here we are. And then all of a sudden, it's Friday, and I'm thinking like, oh, tomorrow's shop at the cop and everything. I wish that the Lord would start very early in the week giving me the message. I mean, it would take a lot of pressure off, you know. And then I realized I'm not under pressure. I'm being lifted up by His hand. So what you're getting today is kind of hot off the wire, just to let you know. Our series is the law of giving and receiving. And every time you hear that, you think of money. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, you know, it's easy to just chunk some money in the bucket rather than spend an hour volunteering, doing things. I'm so thankful for the volunteers in KPA that are there every single day in the co-op on Tuesdays and so forth. It's like time. But you see, it's not the law of giving. It's the law of giving and receiving. You need to be open that God wants to multiply your time and order your time. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. That doesn't happen automatically. It happens through the law of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, seed, time, and harvest. Don't look for a harvest if you haven't planted anything. Ouch. But it's the truth. Why would I lie to you? There's no earthly reason. Because this is what Jesus taught. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. You know, God takes the widow's mite or whatever it is, and it's precious to Him. He takes your time, the time you give to Him, and it's precious to Him. And so it's good measure, pressed down and shaken together, sort of, and it just explodes in your favor, in your behalf, and it comes out perfectly ordered. All of a sudden, you find yourself in the right position where you can hear an encouraging word from a student, from a child, that, you know, I'm preaching to the kids at school. Or I hear something, you know, or a chance to let your light shine to an officer, to a cop. And he wasn't just any state cop. I mean, he's three up and three down, too. I even said to him yesterday, I said, do you have an unmarked Taurus that you drive, you know, state police car? He says, no. I says, good. I was on 90 not too long ago, and I looked in a rearview mirror, and a guy looked like you. He says, well, you know, if I see him approaching me too quick from behind, I'll just tap on the things. I'll just light up so that they'll slow down. But they are there to understand. They're there to really, because people are in a hurry. People get rushed. People, and they not thinking. And they're to remind them of that. And then if there's another problem, they'll get a reward for that problem. Or a consequence, whatever. Amen. But we're talking about the law of giving and receiving. And this is part three. We're talking about giving our future to Jesus. Giving our future. Think about that. Think about time for a second. Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. You know, time creates time is a created element of creation. God created time. The spirit realm moves on a different timetable. And we have kind of a record of that, that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. And I know people use that to justify all kinds of things, like, what do they call that? When evolution, the theory of evolution, and they accept it like fact, you know. And it's a theory, and it's a lying theory. I was taught in school that it was fact. They said science. Well, they tell us to follow the science, so I follow the science. And this is, you know, what science is. It's figuring out how God did things. And He has no reason to lie. He told us the truth. He created man in His own image and likeness. Now, here's the thing about God. He didn't say I was or I will be. He says I am. He lives in the present. That's his name. The ever-present God is Jehovah Shammah. That's one of the compound redemptive names of God. Jehovah Shammah, it means the ever-present one. And a better one that I like translation of it is the God who is there. He's just there. He's there all the time. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's really fruitless to say, God be with us today. No, he already is. Amen. 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 So thank you for your presence here, Father, that you are faithful to your word, to watch over it and to perform it in my life. Because you're here, you said you'd always be. You will not leave me nor forsake me. So if you prayed that in the past, just God knows. You know, just say, okay, I found a better way to pray now. So don't be hard on yourself. Don't get condemned for stuff. Because he was condemned for you, for your mistakes. Now, here's another thing. You've got to understand about time. The Righteous Brothers, I think. Time! Time! Remember that? God is a spirit. Jesus said that in John chapter 4, verse 24 to the woman at the well. He said, God is a spirit. Now, we are created in his image. And now that we're born again, we are in his likeness. We are born, we're created in the image and likeness of God. Now, God is a spirit, right? You are a spirit. You have a soul, you live in a body. You are a triune being just like God. And as far as we know, we are the only created beings in the universe that are created just like God. The angels aren't created like God. To which of the angels did he say, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool? No, he didn't do any of that. No, the Holy Ghost said to us, he says, look, you are created in the image and the likeness of God. You are a spirit. So what does that do to you? You are ever present with God. He is ever present with you. You have a spiritual connection to him that overrides time, that negates your past, and gives you every opportunity to sow seeds now so that when you get to the future, a harvest will be there, a fruit will be there. Something good will be there. You know, Oral Roberts used to say, something good is going to happen to me today. Amen? Why? Because he spent time praying. He spent time in the Word. He spent time seeking God. He looked for solutions and answers, and he found them in the Word of God and simply walked in them, and those solutions and answers just appeared. So something good will happen to say that. Something good is going to happen to me today. You just sowed seed. It came right out of your mouth. So today we're talking about giving our future to Jesus. And somebody, you know, you might think, what do you mean give my future to Jesus? Didn't I do that already? Didn't I do that already when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, when I received him as my Savior? And my Lord, didn't I give him my whole future? Yes, you did. As far as heaven is concerned, absolutely. But there is still a lifetime here that we need to live. And we need his help during this lifetime. And he cares deeply about your every day here. And we need to be good stewards of our time. God wants to give you a full day of his love and guidance, his counsel, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. He wants to give you a full supply of that each and every day. And that just doesn't happen because you're going to heaven or because you're born again. It comes from asking, seeking, and knocking. Say that, ask. Yes. Seek. Knock. And what'll happen? It says, everyone who asks, everyone who seeks? Well, maybe. It could be. There's a good possibility you'd find something. Well, that's what you think sometimes, isn't it? You say, well, it would be better if I did because maybe something good will happen. No, it doesn't work like that. He says, no, be sure. How can you be sure when you ask that God will do it? Because that's what he said to do. And if he said to do it, you see, prayer is God's idea, not ours. Believe me. It's his idea. It's his mandate to us. Seek me, and you will be found of me. So, what do you mean? Give my future to Jesus. How do I do that? I thought I did that already. Well, to think you did that already is like the guy who says to his wife, look, I told you at the altar I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. And I think we know that the marriage covenant is a lot more than that. No, it's constant communication. It's constant giving and receiving and between you and your spouse. It's going through struggles together, financial struggles together. It's figuring things out together. It's going to the Word and saying, okay, here's where we messed up. Here's where we're going to go from here. It's growing together. It's maturing together. It's going through things that the other is going through as if you're going through it yourself, because you are one flesh together with your spouse. But the thing is, marriage covenant and our covenant with God is even more valuable than that. And our marriage was put together by God and designed by God to mirror our relationship with Jesus. It's what it was there for. So to say, I gave my future to Jesus when I was born again. Don't check out so easy. Check in. You can check with them every morning. And then after breakfast. And then before lunch and during lunch and after lunch and all afternoon and all evening, you can check in with him anytime because he's wide open for you 24/7, 365 and a quarter in time. And the time that you have now in the present will determine what your future will be. And do you know who has control over that? God doesn't. Let me ask you this. You have children. I know the Brooks have 4 children. Can you live their lives for them?
Gosh, I wish.
Gosh, I wish. Did you hear that? Leah said, gosh, I wish. But you can't do that.
No.
And the Father can't live your life for you because he's given you free will. He's given you, he gives you wisdom. He gives you workable knowledge of the Scriptures. He gives you understanding and insights into what will and will not produce for you, what will work against you and what will work for you. And to develop fruit in your spirit, to develop those things in you that are his attributes so that you will go forth in life and be successful. I'm not talking about financial successful. I'm talking about success. There are plenty of people financially successful and their marriage is a piece of work. I mean, it's not even there. So, and they're miserable and they feel like they're imprisoned, even though they have all this money. Money is the lowest form, by the way, of prosperity. You got to look at it that way. Huh. I got off track again, but time. Give time. And it would pray. It would pay for us. Because we have the most wonderful document that was ever written. God made his beneficiaries of that document. And that document, of course, is the New Testament, the New Covenant. And it's not, what makes it so valuable, so powerful, is that it's not philosophy. You know, this week we'll prove it, next week we'll disprove it. We'll believe it here or this way, da, 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 da. We're only here for a short time. And we need, it would pay us and behoove us to study that covenant and get every piece of information that we can concerning that covenant because of its long-term benefits and that extend to our children, our children's children, and to coming generations, but also all the fruit that is born in our life as we take those benefits into our life and start to work them, only produce more for us in eternity forever. Now you got to look at it that way. So we have now, and what we do now determines our future. What your kids do now and the choices they make determine their future. So you need to just pick them up by the ears. And because when I was young, I said, you know, I got the rest of my life to think about that. And now, that was just yesterday. It was just yesterday. And here I am thinking I got the world by the tail. And actually what happened? The devil had me in a headlock, thinking I was something when I was nothing, thinking I knew something when I knew nothing. I'm not saying we all have to go through that. I didn't have to go through it. God doesn't call anybody to go through that. But he will make his grace, if he made his grace available to me, believe me, he can make his grace available for anybody. Amen. He's not looking to blame you. He's looking for ways to get his mercy and his grace active and working in your life. Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know this one. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. There's a lot of translations to this. To give you an expected end. I like that. To give you a hope in a future. But the thing is, an expected end. What are you expecting? You know, if you sow a seed, what do you expect? You expect growth. You expect it to grow up and become whatever it is, whatever that seed is. So you have a chance today to sow seed, to sow love into somebody's life, a smile, an encouragement, a word of encouragement to somebody. We heard a story at Wednesday night at Healing University. Greg Moore was driving along in a highway in Houston, Texas, and he saw this guy over by the side of the road on a little grassy knoll. And he heard the Lord say, stop and go to him. And he was just going to keep on. It really took the Lord to say, hey. And he went to him, and the Lord showed him, as he was walking to this guy, the Lord showed him that he lost his job, and he's getting evicted from his apartment. And he said, you know, I know you don't know me, but here, I know you lost your job, and I know you're getting evicted. And he says, I want you to know that God loves you, and he cares about you, and he has something better for you. And the kid was ready to kill himself. He was ready to off himself. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, try me. He said, but I came here to ask God, if you are real, let me know, because if not, I'm going to kill myself. And he didn't kill himself. Another guy plucked out from hell, didn't have to go there, and got him saved and filled with the Holy Spirit too. Praise God. Listen to that. Listen to that. You have now. Listen to those intuitions that are in the present, that are now for you, because they're going to be something great in the future. They're going to be something wonderful. The words that you speak, they need to be seasoned with grace. Seasoned with grace. We're living a life now, and a lot of it is void of conversation with the Father, and you need to activate that now. He's waiting. I mean, he's not there to say, you know, you wasted all that time, and now you're coming to me. No. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden under your own efforts to live your life by yourself. He's not saying, well, you made your bed, you got to lie in it. That's not God. That's the devil. God doesn't say that. That as long as you're in this world, as long as you have a flesh, as long as you're living on this earth, you have the Bible covenant guaranteed right to come to him anytime, and say, God, I believe you. This is my new road. And God will, he'll infuse that and make sure that you have the power to do it. So, give your future to Jesus. How do you do that? First of all, change what you're saying. This will determine life and death in your life. And there's many definitions of life and death in the Bible. It's not just physical death. There are dreams. There are ways of death, the ways that lead to death. Dead works, they're called, and they lead to nothing. Unfruitfulness. Get a hold of your mouth. Because whatever you say and believe in your heart that it'll come to pass, how many times do you say, I don't believe, every day? I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. You know, I believe I'll just go down there and who knows what'll happen. I don't believe I can do that. I don't believe I have that. I don't believe that this will work for me. I don't believe. This is what you're thinking, and what you're thinking slips down in your heart and forms a pool, let's say a reservoir of doubt and unbelief, and that will come out of your mouth, and it will produce after its own kind. Your words are seed. And you don't, I mean, how many times a day do you say you don't believe? Or you don't have, or you can't change, or you can't do this, or you can't do, you need to change your words. Change what you're saying. You know, turn to James chapter 3. I didn't include this, but it's just coming to me now. But James chapter 3. James, I think, knew what he was talking about. He saw Jesus grow up. Jesus is Jesus' half-brother, younger half-brother. And I know there's a lot of questions about that, but that's what's accepted here. And he watched what everybody else was saying, and then Jesus would say the exact opposite. He saw the whole world going this way, and Jesus was going that way. He saw the narrative is all going this way, and Jesus would go this way. Jesus knew the power of words. You know how he knew? Because when he was the spoken word of God that was with God, that was God, and that created the universe, he created it. So where are we? James chapter 3. Look at this. Let's go to verse 2. For in many things we offend all. Don't get offended. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle his whole body. That perfect means mature. God knows you're not perfect. That's why he sent Jesus here. And none of us are. You don't have to be, but you have to just do what God says to do, and he'll do the rest. If you can control this, you can control your whole body. So what are you saying? I didn't say Jesus said it. James said it. The Holy Spirit said this through James. Control your tongue, you'll control your whole body. That means you can talk to your body. Jesus talked to trees. He talked to a storm. He talked to demons. He talked to the sea. He talked to inanimate objects, and they obeyed him. See, your body without the Spirit is nothing, but you are a spirit, and you have authority over your body. When you speak the word of God, which is the ultimate authority that he has delegated to you, you are speaking life to your body. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You are able to perform miracles just by speaking. Look at this. That's just one verse here. I mean, it gets better. It says, look, we put bits in horses' mouths and they obey us. You take, what are horses? What are they, 900 pounds or something? And here I am, like a 160-pound guy, sitting on top of a horse, and I can control all of that beef, all of that muscle, all of that snorting horse will with a little bit in his where? Mm-hmm. Verse 4. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of first fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very little rudder. Well, he says a helm here, but that means a rudder. Wheresoever the governor listeth. In other words, wherever the pilot wants to steer it. That rudder has to obey that steering wheel. And that ship has to obey that rudder. Horses have bits. Ships have rudders. And people have tongues. They all do the same thing. They chart a course. Now, if you say... Your mother said the same thing, Brian. When I said that, I was in the nursing home ministry when I first said that. Ships have rudders, horses have bits, people have tongues. They all do the same thing. They create a course toward something. Now, God has already laid out the fact that he is ever present with us. You are ever present with him. You are a spirit. He is a spirit. You have the ability to control time and everything else. And you know what a miracle is? A miracle is something that just happens immediately. You know how it happens? It's the same process of seed, time, and harvest, giving and receiving. It's the same process, but it's compressed in time. You know, when Jesus turned the water into wine, it went through the same process of the grapes, the squeezing, the aging, and everything, but it was compressed in time because he said, fill the water pots with water. They did it. See, when we obey what he says to do, we will have the result that we want. They wanted wine, and he gave them the best heaven had to offer. And it was borne witness by the governor of the feast. Time. Did you know that really time is under your control? We have the time that we have here anyway. Not that you're going to live forever in this body. Your body was not redeemed. Your spirit was. And all the powers of redemption dwell in you, in your spirit. This is why you have a treasure in your earthen vessel. It's your spirit. It's your recreated spirit. The power to call light to shine out of darkness. Light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This all goes together. Take control of your words, and you will open up your future to Jesus. It's that simple. You'll open your future to God Almighty. You know, I was reading this the other day. It was in John chapter 16. I think it was like 13 or 14, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit at the Last Supper, and he says, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, yada, 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 it says, he will show you things to come, and whatsoever he hears, that will he speak to you. This is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit talking, they're having a conversation. The most infinite, intimate, divine conversation that the Holy Spirit will just share with you. This is the intimate thoughts and intention of God that he's sharing with you by the Holy Spirit. And he says, whatever he hears, he'll show it to you. He'll speak it to you. He'll teach it to you. He'll counsel you on it. He's your everything. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the powerful and magnificent Holy Spirit living in you. You are enveloped in him and baptized in him. You're underwater with him. I mean, he is like the six-pointed Jewish star the Star of David, that means he is over you. He is under you. He is all beside you. And he is front and back. The six sides, he is everywhere around you that you possibly, you can't go anywhere. David said, I can make my bed in hell and you're there. Psalm 30, I think that was. Time. So give him your words. You know, and here's one more thing about words. Hebrews 3, chapter 1, says, therefore, brethren, boy, you're fast, Stephen. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Are you a partaker of the heavenly calling? Yes. That's where you check in with God in the morning and say, Father, I am a partaker of the heavenly calling. And I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you so that I can know the hope of my calling. It's a heavenly one. This is where I'm heading. Consider. Who? Think about, mull it over, consider. Consider all the possibilities. Consider everything that is now yours. Think of, consider the apostle, the sent one, and the high priest, the mediator of our profession. That word is homo logeo. It means to say the same thing as. Say the same thing as God. He is the high priest of our confession. When we start confessing the word of God, he is there to mediate it and make it good. When we say something, he's been sent by the Father to take your words, to bring them before the Father, so the Father can go, and breathe on them and make them good. The life of God in your future, by your words, because you have a high priest. You have an apostle who's sent to be your high priest. Just like Melchizedek was sent by God to Abraham to bless him. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Abraham was rich at that time, but man, he was a lot more richer after that. I mean, you can follow it along. And when he was old in age, he was very rich. And they say, yeah, he was rich spiritual. No, it says he was very rich in silver and gold and much cattle and sheep and da-da-da-da-da. And until the land couldn't sustain him. He had to look for bigger parts to go to. Proverbs, just write these down. I'll go. Proverbs 18, 20, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. What does that say? You're gonna eat your words. Whatever you say. So make your words good. Make them full of promise, full of hope, full of love, full of faith. Make your words what God wants, designed you to be, a speaker. You are a speaking spirit. And so you might as well speak his word, because those words will bring you life. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just brings forth wisdom. You need wisdom? Pray in tongues and interpret, because you're taking the wisdom of God and the secrets. If you put 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 14 together, you will find that you are speaking the wisdom of God when you pray in tongues. You're speaking revelation, something to reveal to your spirit, and you're also... You're speaking the wisdom of God. Wisdom sees into the future and makes the right choice. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Let that speak for itself. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. Speak truth and you will be established. In unstable times, unstable markets, unstable this, unstable relationships, you will be established and you won't be moved by any of those things. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Psalm 1, talking about the man who's blessed, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his leaf shall not wither. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not wither, and he will bring forth his fruit in his season. Isn't that wonderful? Speak the word of God. Number two, give your future to Jesus by setting your expectations wherever the word of God brings them. Don't settle for what's worked in the past or what hasn't worked in the past. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for man's standard or the standards of this world, because when you set, the standards of this world were not set by God. They were set by the God of this world. And those standards limit you. God liberates you and says all things are possible to him who believes. Set your expectations. And number three, expectations. I could go into that for the next 2 years about expectations. I'll spare you. But expectations is everything, because expectations hooks in with hope, and hope, in order for faith to work, you got to have hope, because hope is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of what you hope for. So your expectations have everything to do with setting your hope. You got to jack up your expectations as high as you can get them. Jack them up, jack up your hope as high as you can get it. And just say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what happened in the past. I don't care about any of that. I'm gonna jack this thing up. God can do it. And he has proved it in the past. I mean, look, he took all of that at the cross, and then he rose from the dead. Hey, he was born of a virgin. Nothing is impossible with him. And I think it's Luke 1:30, whatever. When Gabriel spoke to Mary, and he said, the American Standard Version picks this out. When it says nothing is impossible with God, it says no word of God is void of power. Take it, believe it, speak it. Walk in it. Take it, believe it, walk in it. Speak it. Set your expectations, and your expectations have a lot to do with what you're speaking, because your words will design what you're expecting, either full or empty, wrong or right, evil or good, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and your tongue, your words will regulate what's going on in your mind and expectations. And then the other way you can give your future to Jesus is with your time. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying. Spend time confessing and meditating on the Word of God and saying it over and over again. That's what meditation means. It means to mutter. It means to say. It means to roll over in your mind. It's connecting your mind with your mouth. And when you do that, guess what happens? Romans 12, verse 2, or 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is what Paul's saying. I'm begging you, do this. By the mercy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That does not mean to offer yourself on an altar. No, this is a living sacrifice. This is a this is a living sacrifice where you say, where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do today? Father, I'm open to be whoever you want me to be today. Whatever you people need me, you know, I'm open to you. Holy and accepted, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by what? Oh, that sounds like mind over matter to me. Mm-mm. Your mind is something that is in the Ten Commandments even. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Amen. Jesus quoted it. And he said the two greatest commandments. He said the first is to love God, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't think you can't do that. I have neighbors. Never mind. Bluey. Just blew that boat out of the water, didn't I? But you can love them. You know what? You need to lock yourself in a room. If you've been hurt by somebody, if you've been betrayed by somebody, if you... I know a man of God years ago who said, I am not leaving this room until I can forgive those men. And he said, Lord, I'm going to take that one step further. I'm not going to leave this room until I can love them with all of my heart, just like I love you, and love until it doesn't matter. You know, forgiveness is not something to benefit the person that hurt you. It's to benefit you. I'm not going anywhere until I can forgive those people and until I can love them the way you love them. I'll tell you something, you'd be free. It's freedom there. But it takes time to get there. Time and renewal of the mind with the Word of God. The past, just think of the past as the blood washed and cleansed, your entire past. It does not exist with God. He remembers your sins no more. He has deleted all the memory banks of heaven with that blood. That blood dripped on the ground from the cross, dripped on the ground from the whipping post, dripped on the ground, it says, in the garden when he prayed for you. That blood that washed God's memory of your sin, and it can wash his memory of your sin, it should wash your memory of your sin too. It's powerful enough to do that. Let God, let his word be true. Say, well, you know, maybe I'm, don't let the devil say, you know, because the devil's doing this right now to somebody. He says, that may work for some people, but you know, you're different. You have a past, man. I mean, you're wired differently. That's not for you. That's for them. Has the devil ever talked to you that way? He's talked to me that way. He's tried to single me out and say, yeah, you know, that's for some people. But, you know, you got to understand something. I'm hitting a nerve here because the thing is, and it brings freedom when you understand that God, that's not coming from God. God created you. you gotta understand, you know, that you are a new creation. God didn't just put a patch of old cloth on a new cloth on your old garment. He didn't just put a patch up your wines. He made you a brand new wineskin. He made that old clothes, you. He made that totally new. I mean, it's totally new. You are a new creation. You're not just a patch job. You're not just a retread. You're not just, you know, you're different. No, I am what he says I am. I'm not going any lower than that. In fact, I can't even get as high as his word puts me. He didn't come down here to do all of that so that he could just patch me up and leave all that old crud in me. No! It's gone! Go! Ooh, let your mind go there. And you know what? You will be transformed. Your soul will start receiving messages from God that you never even believed you could do before. Because your believer will be accelerated. It'll be punched full of life. Your mind will be, your thoughts will be transformed. Your thoughts that produce pools of belief and faith in your spirit, man, will start coming out of your mouth. And when you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, turn to Mark 11:23. This is a verse that Kenneth Hagin wrote. Jesus said, answering that, have faith in God. Do you know the original language says, have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith? How does the God kind of faith work? You know, somebody said this to me one time. He said, you know, we don't believe that. God didn't work by faith because he knows the future. He knows everything, and so he doesn't need faith. That is such a twisted, incomplete definition of faith. That is a complete twisted of what faith. Faith is the creative force of God. Right. Have the faith of who? God. Why would he say that if you couldn't do that? For verily I say unto you that whosoever Say this. I am
a
whosoever.
Whosoever
shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You've been having a problem in your life, your whole life. This thing is dogging you, this sin that's dogging you, this negativity or whatever it is, this one problem, that one sin in your life that's been dogging you for 40 years. Be thou removed. And be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This came from the mouth of Jesus, who is God, who cannot, it is impossible for him to lie. And he said, if you believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. So what do you got to do with your time? Spend building that word into your spirit, man. Build that word into your heart, into your heart up here. That's the portion of you. That's the soul. That's the seat of the soul. Is your heart. And shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Here's where you go to school. In this verse, the word say is mentioned three times. The word speak is only once. I'm sorry, speak is three times. The word believe is only there once. So actually, by speaking the word of God, you can actually school your mind into faith, into thoughts of faith. So you're feeding your spirit new things. And actually, you're drawing from your spirit. For verily I say, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Three times you say it, once you believe it. So you can school yourself into faith by just saying what God says. Homo logeo, say the same thing as God. And when you say the same things of God, you know what Samuel said about Saul? He said, you're going to prophesy with the prophets. What are the prophets? They speak the word of God. He said, you'll prophesy with the prophets and you will be turned into another man. You want to change things? You initiate it. You're no longer alienated from God. Paul goes into this. We are no longer aliens, nor strangers to the covenants of God. No longer. We are a trusted friend. For the last verse, I want to go to Matthew 26:50. And this will wipe out any kind of condemnation that you've ever had in your life. This will take it off of the table. It's not even up for discussion. This is when Jesus is being arrested in the garden, betrayed by Judas. And Jesus said to him, friend. Do you notice friend is capitalized? King James. It's the only one who did it. No, there's a couple others that did it, but this is right because this is a covenant word. Friend, why are you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus, took him. Friend, Jesus never left Judas. Judas left him. Now, have you betrayed the Son of God and put him into the hands of people who killed? No, you haven't done anything that bad. Judas did, and still Jesus gave him that chance. Friend, why have you come? He's given him a chance to tell him why he came, to confess his sin, and to be forgiven. That's what Jesus was doing in the garden. He was transitioning from who he was on earth to who he will be in heaven as the apostle and high priest and mediator of the new covenant. Our advocate with God. Then came they and laid hands on him. And, you're a friend. You are no longer alienated from God. You are one with him. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. You are no longer a stranger to the covenants of God. You have been grafted in, and grafted in, you are partaking of the same sap of the vine, the same sap. He is the true vine. We are the branches. And the branch, that's where the fruit grows. And that's where he wants the fruit to be in you. Give your future to Jesus by saying what God says, your words. Your words will set your expectations, and your expectations will order your time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void. It is the truth that liberates us, that empowers us, that encourages us, that blesses us, that brings us into fellowship with you on your terms. And your terms are the best terms that we could possibly agree to. Your terms are the terms of eternity. And we thank you that you have made us accepted in the Beloved, and nothing else matters. It's not in the equation, anything other than that. So, Father, as we enter into this next week, we're preparing for Christmas and holidays and family get-togethers and meals, feasts, conversations. Let it be seasoned with peace. Let it be seasoned with grace. Lord, give us wisdom going into those things so that we say the right things and present you in the way you would want to be presented in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.